And welcome to the open line portion of Coast to Coast AM. Lots of things have been going on this planet. A world in chaos, as I call it. But let's try, if you want to, if you can, to kind of push that aside for just a couple hours and talk about some fun things and some things that are going on. Because I got to tell you, if we keep talking about the real things that are happening, and we have to do that, that's what we devote a lot of the programs to during the week these days. You can't forget about what happens. You can't forget about what just happened in Munich. Some sick 18-year-old goes crazy and kills 9 people, not himself. But let's escape for just a couple hours tonight and talk about the strange and the unusual and the mysteries and the weird. So share with us some of those crazy stories that have faced you in your lifetime. Because I don't know about you, but I'm ready for it. And welcome back to Coast, and let's go right to the phones. Let's go to Brad in Angels Camp, California, west of the Rockies. Hey, Brad, welcome to the show.
Hi. I'm glad I got in. Too bad I didn't get in on your last guest, but
he was a good one.
I have a few things. One is that I have been able to sense when 2 of my pets have died, when they've been like at a vet, and I've called the vet, and then the night person answers, and I say, well, you know, they'll say, well, I checked on them, you know, at 9 o'clock. I said, well, check on them now. And the thing is, though, the first one was a dog that I inherited from a girlfriend named not the girl Sasquatch, but the dog Sasquatch.
The girl was named Sasquatch?
No, it was the dog. He was about a foot long. He was a Lhasa Apso. And so I think she was joking when she named him Sasquatch.
Yeah.
Anyway, he had some tough times. He developed lymphatic cancer, where a half wolf, half
husky
named Gypsy bit him in the belly area, and it seems like that's where the cancer began. But I had this sense, and it was like I had a dream. I used to go up to Half Dome up in Yosemite with a group of Boy Scouts, and we would stop a little past Merced River, but we often would go down the Merced River and go swimming, and it was like halfway up to Half Dome. And in my dream that caused me to wake up and call the vet and find out that he had indeed died in the last hour or so, or a couple hours, I had this dream that I went there, and a beaver came up to me and told me that Sasquatch had been like impaled on a beaver dam on a stick that was sticking up.
Oh my God.
And so the beaver wanted me to go out and see, you know, help him out. So I picked him up, and I could tell that he was bleeding from that spot that he was bit by the half wolf.
And that's probably what was really happening at that time.
Maybe, but anyway, The interesting thing was, a lot, I used to walk around the block, and I'd wind up with like 15 cats. When I was walking around the block with the dog, I'd wind up, and sometimes I had a cat with me that lived with me,
but mm-hmm.
I'd wind up with, you know, like a dozen cats at the end of the walk.
You're like the Pied Piper of animals.
Something. But anyway, so there were a lot of the cats that were friends of his, but there were, you know, like the beaver was there. I don't think he knew any beavers, but there were also birds, and there were squirrels, and there were animals that they were all there for a reason. And they were like, you know, it was part of the
it would just seem like a glorious moment.
A memorial service.
Yeah. With animals.
Yeah. So anyway, that was one thing. And another time, I had a cat that got in. It was probably mauled by a dog or something. It was a rescue. And I called, first I took her to the vet, the vet wanted like $900 just to keep her overnight, run some tests and see if she was alive in the morning. And I said, I don't have that kind of money. You know, I said, most I can pay you is about half of that. So I gave him $450. And I said, you know, and this was at closing time at 6. I said, I don't even know if she's going to last till 9, tell you the truth. I called up at 9, or no, a little after that, and like maybe 10 o'clock. And I had the night technician go back and check. And he said, well, I just checked her at 9. Everybody was alive at 9. I said, well, you go and check her now, you know. So, yep, she was dead. And I just knew that she was dead, you know.
You had this connection.
Sure enough, she died in that last hour.
Do you think it was a connection between just those two animals, or is that you?
I think that, you mean the awareness?
Yeah.
The affinity, or...
Because has it happened with people, too, or just the animals?
Well, okay, my mother died. They never could find out what the cause of death was. The Alameda County coroner held on to her body for something like 6 months.
Oh my God.
And never could figure it out. Well, and my brother walked up, checked on the house, walked past her, didn't realize she was on the floor of this room where we called it transit room. When we were growing up, we lived in the room. They added an addition to the house and opened up a door in that room. It was still like the guest room, but we called it the transit room because all her old projects just stayed there unless they actually got a guest, in which case they all got stuffed in the closet.
Pushed away. Did she fall or collapse?
What happened? She fell into this pile of clothes, which may have been, you know, left over from when we were in high school.
Sure.
When I was like 36 or something.
But you felt that coming?
Anyway, the thing was, I had a vision. And it was really clear, and I did not grow up going to church or anything. I had no background for anything to do with I may have heard something about a shining light, you know, when you die and you follow the light. But what I had a vision of was that she was lying down. She had fallen down. She actually fell out of her shoes because my brother found her by tripping over her shoes after he walked by her, checked upstairs, came back down, and tripped on one of her shoes and realized she'd fallen out of her shoes into the pile of laundry or whatever.
Well, don't you think the clothes would have buffered her, though?
Huh?
They would have kind of buffered her? Or do you think she, like, fell over and died, maybe a heart attack or something?
No, they could not determine any cause of death.
Because if she fell into the clothes, the fall wouldn't have hurt her.
Well, I think, personally, I think she just gave up. She you know, she kind of was stuck with empty nest syndrome for
that happens. She probably, Brad, died and then fell. You know, the her death caused her to fall. That's probably what happened. But this gift with animals is something that you definitely have. You know, with animals, that cat, by the way, folks, that I've been feeding has not been around in a couple weeks. Ever since I started talking about it, it hasn't come around. I can't catch it. Now, I will tell you, I've put food out at night, and it's gone in the morning, but that could be anything. That could be coyotes, who knows what. But I haven't seen the charcoal cat to be able to catch it. And we're prepared to catch it. Everybody's prepared to come by and help me. But I don't even know if he's still limping on that leg. He's hobbling around on three legs. But we try every night. Let's go next to Brian in the Redlands in California. Lots of Cali calls tonight. Hey, Brian, go ahead.
How you doing, Mr. Norrie?
Good, sir.
Good to you.
Thank you.
I'll be really quick. I just have an offer for you.
Yeah.
I'm getting in a couple of days from Amazon. I ordered a copy of Sherry Schreiner's Interview with the Devil, My Conversation with Lucifer.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay.
And I'd like to give a copy to you.
Oh, you don't. I'll get one.
No, I got it especially for you.
Well, how about this deal? I'll get it, I'll read it, and then I'll give it away as a gift. Is that fair?
That's fair.
Okay.
Now, where do I send it to?
I'll put you on hold, but I'm going to Tom with a text message. We're going to talk with him, and then, Tom, I want you to pick up the phone and give him our address to send the book. Well, what's our text message?
Yeah, I'll get Brian right after this. So, okay. So this one's from Nancy in Seal Beach, California. My sister doesn't really have any hobbies, but I myself like to knit. Do you think people like me have a bit more of a creative side? I feel like I do.
My daughter was almost the same way. Now she's into all kinds of color.
Which one? And
Wendy. She became a graphic and a designer, you know, interior designer. She loved doing that as a kid. I remember when we went into her room once, she had it painted black with stars, and we freaked out. Because we thought, oh my God, what's happening to her? She's gone over to the other side. Who knows what? You know what? We were 21 years old.
You're a guy that likes space. So
yeah, but we were kids when we had her. You know, married my high school sweetheart. We were babies. We didn't know about raising kids. She was being creative. You know, at that young age, I should have just said, gosh, this is great, Wendy.
Let her go.
And let her do her thing, which she has done now. But, you know, as a parent, we should have recognized that creativity instead of thinking that she was, you know, going over to the dark side.
Do you know anybody that knits?
You do.
Be serious.
No, I have been told that you crochet in your office with your needles and you do your
But
thing.
Seriously, they make...
No, I don't know who
They
knits
make,
anymore.
Like, the greatest things. They're like, I do believe it's a creative...
I don't know how they do that. They make sweaters by knitting and things like that, but I don't know who does... You know, it's like the cobbler. That's a dying business. You know, people... I do.
You think everybody on hold
right
now...
Have you ever brought your shoes to a cobbler?
No. But do you think everybody on hold knows what a cobbler is?
I would guess most people do.
I'll bet you if you
ask... You did not.
I'll bet you if you ask every call you go to next, at least one person won't know.
Let's give it a try.
Yeah, because I did not.
Well, that means subsequent to this call, because they know what it is now.
No, they don't. It's just a word. We didn't say... Oh, yeah.
You did
say that's right.
I did. You have never taken your shoes to a cobbler?
No. In fact, I remember when you said that name to me that one time. I laughed. What is a cobbler?
That's weird. No, if my soles on a good pair of shoes I'd like get worn, I take it and get new soles put on. I got a friend out of St. Louis. His name's Peter. He puts taps on his shoes so he can make noise when he walks.
What's that other thing you have a hang up about? Refrigerator or icebox?
You say icebox.
I say icebox.
That's old.
What do you mean it's old?
That's before electricity. That's what they that's what they used to do.
How would I know a term before electricity?
They used to put blocks of ice in the refrigerator because they didn't have electricity to keep it cool.
But how would I know a term before electricity?
From your parents. No. You got that from your mom or dad. But let's go to the other calls, and I'll ask them one at a time. And let me check in with Robert before you go to him one more time. Robert, did you have a question beyond the book? Robert, you there? Nope, hold on. I got the wrong line. Robert, there you are.
Hello?
Did you want to talk to Tom now and get that address?
No, this is Robert in Colorado.
Now, hold on. I'm all screwed up. It's Brad. There you go. Brad, did you want to... You had a question before we talked to Tom? I'm falling apart here. Live on the air.
I was talking about animals, remember?
Oh, that that's right. No, it's Brian is the one I wanted. Brian?
Yeah. Hey, George, I'm back.
This is a conspiracy to get me tonight. So, all right, so before I give you to Tom, did you have a question during open lines?
One of the things I think you guys should do is you and Tom need to do a whole hour or two together. Because it's fun listening to you guys talk. I enjoy hearing you guys talk.
Yeah, but you're seeing me melting down right now.
It's okay. It's electronics.
Right. Okay, I'm going to put you on hold. We'll give you the address. Send us the book. And when I'm done with it, we're going to give it away on the show as a gift to people. Anyways, let's go to Robert in Colorado. Robert, there you are. Go ahead.
Oh, well, good morning, George. First time caller, a long time.
Well,
listener.
Thank you, sir.
The reason for my call is you posed a question earlier in the week. You were talking to police officers, and you posed a question, why do criminals go after cops' guns?
Right.
The answer is hierarchy.
Tell me more.
All right. In the prison system, there is a hierarchy of your crimes. Child molesters and snitches are on the bottom of the totem pole.
As they should be.
Cop killers are on the top.
Really?
Yes. You kill a cop because to inmates in the prison system, cops are the enemy. They're out to, cops are out to put people in prison, so therefore the cops are the enemy. So if you kill a cop, you go up on the top tier of the totem pole.
Even if you're there for life, you're the king of the prison.
You're not king of the prison. The gang has come into play and all that.
Yeah.
As far as inmate hierarchy goes, if you kill the cop on the streets, you go up on the top tier of the totem pole. If you're a sex offender, Tom Lester, you're on the bottom.
Jeez.
You're on the bottom.
So they don't. So when they go for a gun for a cop, they don't care what happens, do they?
Well, typically, the criminal that goes after a cop's gun, one has probably already been in prison before, so he knows the system. He knows, and if whatever crime they're arresting him for or whatever, if he knows he's going to prison for some time, five years or more.
Uh-oh, we've lost him. Wonder how that happened. Oh, well. Let's go to Cheryl in San Antonio. Cheryl, welcome to the show. Go ahead.
Hey, thank you, George. I'm enjoying your show tremendously.
Even though I'm melting down live on the air?
I love it, and I love you and Tom. I love that little banter you got going on.
You do?
And also, I wanted to tell you, hi from John Hall.
Oh, really? Tell him hi for me.
He enjoyed doing your show so much in Boulder.
That's super.
And he enjoyed spending time with you and Tom, and we talked about it for quite a bit a few days ago.
Beyond belief.
Oh, okay. So anyway, I'll tell him. Anyway, the reason I was calling is because your last guest, Rich, was amazing. I have to say that the same thing happened to me 20 years ago.
Really?
Yes. And it was, I'm getting all excited now talking about it, because this man that I was dating at the time, he, you know, we had this kind of familiarity that, like a sense, like, I've known you before.
Right. That's a comfortable feeling, too.
It is. But let me give a little bit of advice to that, and that is, if you feel that way about somebody you're dating, do not go and get regressed. We did, and we broke up because we found out that he was my son.
Oh, and meant even though it was a spirit thing, it's still difficult to comprehend.
It's the idea you're sleeping with your kid.
Yeah, I get you.
But even the cool part was, on the way over to see my girlfriend, who hadn't met him yet, he said, well, stop, I gotta get a doll for your friend Mary. I said, a doll? You never even met her. So he bought her this China doll. So when she opened up her apartment door, she just screamed out his name from his past life and threw her arms around him.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and she gave him the doll. He gave her the doll, and she started crying, and she said it was exactly like the one he gave her in a previous
life. My gosh, yeah. Okay, I agree with you. Don't get regressed before you get together. Welcome back to Open Lines. George Norrie with you. Let's go right back to the phones. Let's go to Dan in Denver, Colorado, to get things started. Hey, Daniel, go ahead.
How you doing?
Good. Hope you are, too.
I'm pretty good.
Good.
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Well, thank you. What got you to finally call after all these years?
Well, I've been experiencing some kind of wild stuff that's been happening for about 5 years now, I guess. I was telling your screener that I have this business, and I was having trouble with it. So I asked my spirit guides. My sister and I have kind of been involved in we call it the cult, you know, contacting our parents or loved ones or something. But it actually really happened. I think it was my dad. I've contacted him and actually had some pretty good conversations with him. But they first came in with colors. And the first color I saw was like a purple outside with like a yellow nucleus. And then there's more of like a comfort thing. But I've seen different colors, and they come to me when I'm kind of feeling down, or they try to pick me up, or it's kind of wild. See, sometimes it'll be above your head, and sometimes it'll be like eye level. So kind of wild. So
that is wild. That's it?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Okay. I've waited all this time for that one.
All right. Thanks for the call. Nathan is in Toronto on the international line. Hey, Nathan, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing, Josh?
Good, sir. Good.
Okay. I'm calling because I want to find out something about, I heard it on Coast to Coast a couple of months ago.
Okay.
But you weren't hosting it. It was somebody else from Toronto hosting it. And they were talking about a drug called Ketamine. And psychic powers.
Okay, I can barely hear you. You're pretty muffled.
They were talking about an anesthetic medication called Ketamine.
Okay.
And psychic powers. And they said something about a gift from God, which you call gift from God. Do you know what that is? It's something related to psychic powers and the drug Ketamine.
Okay, I don't know what that is, but I will solicit our listeners, if they have an answer for us, maybe they can get back to us and help you with that answer. I don't know. I don't know. I can't help you on that one. Tom, you got a text message for us? What do you have?
We do something from Carl in Ogden, Utah. I bought my son a yo-yo today. It got me thinking of my favorite toys as a kid. Do you have a favorite toy growing up?
I liked yo-yos. I liked the ones that would light up when you did it. You know, those were pretty cool.
I remember those.
I also used to play, you know, soldiers. I had these little tiny plastic soldiers. And I would play in the garage with my buddies for hours and hours. You know, we'd have little war games and things like that. That's way before video games. We had to literally, you know, make do and recreate and create and do different things.
But I got to ask you, how cool was Silly Putty?
I loved Silly Putty. And I also loved a toy called the Slinky.
I was just...
Did you have one?
Yeah, I was just going to tell you that.
And my favorite thing was down the stairs.
Could you make it work? I could never make it work.
Oh, yeah. You had to have it right at the end of the stair, the whole thing, and then you plop it over, and then that centrifugal force
I could never
just
make
keeps
it work.
Knocking it going down the steps.
It's frustrating.
So cool. I could never get my Slinky to go back up the steps.
It did that too?
No.
No.
Oh my God. Lock him up. Oh my God. Thanks, Tom. Debbie's in Pennsylvania, east of the Rockies. Hi, Debbie.
Hello. How are you, George?
I'm fine. Tommy actually thought the Slinkies would go back up the stairs.
Oh, I liked Gumby and Pokey.
I like those too. They were fun.
And the Jingle Jump.
What was that?
I knew you didn't know that.
What was that?
You put this little thing, you strap this little thing on your heel, and you sort of took your, like, your right foot and did it in circles. So there's this long cord on the back of the strap on your heel, had a ball on the end of it, and the long cord, you jump over the long cord and keep, you know, making your leg go around and around and around and jump over the cord as it would pass, you know, under your flag.
Huh, I never had one of those.
Oh, boy, I wore mine out on the playground.
Love that.
Okay, I have two questions for you.
Okay.
About Art Bell, did you know, or do you know, is he out of the hospital? I don't have a
The latest we've heard, and we don't have a lot of information, is that he's out of the hospital.
Okay.
Still home. I don't know his condition at home, but... I haven't heard anything bad, so that's a good sign.
That's right. Oh, I've been praying for him. I know.
He's got the COPD, which is a chronic lung disease.
Yeah, the elephant on the chest thing.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, that's too bad. Yeah. But we've been praying for him, and I know a lot of people have been praying.
Prayers work.
That's right. You better believe they do. Also, I wanted to know, my girlfriend, she's from Colorado. Well, now she moved out from Pennsylvania, but she told me that you were on Ancient Aliens.
Yes.
That's nice.
I'm on almost every episode.
Yeah, I'm going to have to really watch, because it's different from where, you know, I'm living compared to where she's living, and, you know, but I still am going to have to watch it now, because I have to see you on there. I've never seen you.
You've never, ever seen what I look like?
No. Nope.
Well, just go to my website.
Well, I don't have a computer.
Oh, you don't?
No, we live off the grid.
Do you have a cell phone?
No.
You don't have a cell phone
either? No. One of those things hanging on the wall. That's why I'm talking to you. I'm even on XM because we can't get reception with the regular, you know, channel.
If you go to the post office, there's a wanted picture of me up there on the post office, and you could look at it there.
Oh, it's only black and white.
That's true.
Oh, okay, but I want to know, what's this thing about there's men already up on Mars, and they were working on our little rover guy up there?
Well, there's all kinds of rumors about different things that are happening on Mars. I don't think we're there, but who knows?
Yeah.
I do know, and I do believe we went to the moon. We went to the moon.
Oh, yeah.
You believe that, too.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Hey, do you know what a cobbler is?
Yeah.
What's a cobbler?
A guy that makes wooden shoes. No. No, he just makes shoes.
He repairs shoes.
Yeah.
Primarily.
Yeah. Well, or makes them.
I guess he could make them, custom make them. That's true. Okay, but you know what a cobbler is, so that's one right there. All right, thanks.
Okay, thank you.
All right, Deb, next up, let's go to Howard in New Mexico. Howard, do you know what a cobbler is? I'm just asking for Tom's purposes.
Yeah, they do. They are modified shoes.
Yep, you got it. Everybody knows what a cobbler is. Tom thinks nobody does. But anyway.
You heard it earlier, right?
Yep, sure have. You there?
There's a reason to come back.
I can't hear you. We'll try to get a better connection. They're coming at me today from everywhere. Dennis is an idol, and now on Coast to Coast. Go ahead, Denny.
Hi, George.
Hi there.
You guys are funny tonight with the old toys we played with.
This is Comedy Hour.
Yeah.
Also, what was your favorite? I'm in a weird mood. What was your favorite candy bar as a kid?
My favorite what?
Candy bar.
Oh, God, I was terrible. They had a matinee that they opened up where I grew up in the shopping center. Right across from me there, around the corner, I'd go in the stores and they'd have two for a nickel. So the big hunks, the chocolate bars, Milky Ways, you name it. You know, I was eating that bad stuff. And then at Thrifty's, the store, they had a counter there, and the ladies for 50 cents would give you this giant sundae with everything under the sun on it, you know. So terrible. Those were the good old days.
Oh, my gosh. Loved them. Baby Ruth. They still make them. They're my favorites.
Oh, God. I remember them. Yeah. I can see it right now. I used to, with the nuts all on them and everything. Yeah, they were great. Caramel inside, was it?
Yeah. That and peanuts and everything else. They were great.
You guys are funny.
We are. It's not a bad little comedy show.
Yeah, George, my topics with you tonight here are discarnate spirits and a sleep paralysis state, which I learned to get in, you know, because I read about astral travel. And what I want to do is make something understood real clear to everybody about it, because I don't think it's made clear enough. And let me do that. I'm trying to speed along here.
That's okay.
I sound rushed. I don't want to take your time.
No. Be calm. Be nice and slow.
I don't know how you do it. So here's my experience. I learned through practicing meditation and hypnosis that was guided on one side and subliminal on the other. I'm not going to say who it was or anything because it's, you know, advertising. But so I did that, and after a month, I woke up in the sleep paralysis state. That's the altered state that you must be in order to be vibrating in a state that the astral can detach from the body.
Uh-huh.
So it's not the state to be scared. It's the state where now you say, this is it, and you will yourself to come out, and everything's thought world then. And then and you think something, and it happens. Everything's sped up right now.
A moment of bliss.
Yes. Yeah. The first time I did it, I came out. And I was so excited. I saw myself there, and I said, God, you're ugly.
just different.
I was looking at myself, you know. But here's the problem with that one. I got so elated, and I hadn't had no experience of this. So I said, I better lay back down and ask for golden white light to protect my physical body before I go off somewhere, you know, because I wanted to go somewhere, you know. You make your decision. You plan for everything. You have to work at this planning, you know, what you're going to do. And you do these exercises that are in the books you mentioned. What was it, Muldoon?
Sylvan Muldoon and Hayward Carrington, Projections of the Astral Body.
Yeah, see, and you read those books, and they tell you, and you do those exercises, and it's accumulative. One time you just wake up, and you'll be sitting there, like, shaking, hearing popping like electricity.
Yeah, it's when you least expect it.
Yeah, yeah, right, right. But when you try to do it consciously, you know, you're into this, and you want to experience it for yourself. So that state is not one to be afraid of. That's the state, the sleep paralysis state is what you recognize and then say, now I can come out of body. And that's when you do it.
Yep, exactly. Dennis, you sound like a fun guy. What do you do for a living?
I'm retired. I'm 62, you know.
Were you retired at 62? Wow.
Disabled. Yeah, I'm disabled.
What happened?
Well, you know, hard physical labor, and I raced pro motocross for 14 years.
Did you really?
Yeah, and I tore out my knee when I was 19 and then tore it out again at 20.
Were you the driver or part of the pit crew?
No, I was a world-class rider. I, you know, locally in Southern California, I used to win every race I entered that I finished till I was pro.
What's the fastest speed you ever went?
George, I was afraid of speed on the street because if you go down out there, you can get destroyed. And I didn't like high speeds, you know, because motocross, you're in this track that, you know, that a goat would live on, you know,
yeah,
going around it, you know. So you're speeding as fast as you can and trying to get through the turns and all that. I watch these guys nowadays jumping, and I can't believe what they do.
Oh, their bones must be brittle as heck, you know what?
Yeah, well, it's the most physically demanding sport in the world, pro racing, motocross, because 45-minute moto is wide open, and, you know, a guy breathing down your back, and use every single muscle in your body.
How high up do they go sometimes with bikes?
George, nowadays, I've seen what they do those loops in the air. I mean, I couldn't even imagine.
And they stay on the bike.
And they stay on, and they hang off the rear. How they do this, I don't know.
What was the worst? Did you ever have a crash?
Yeah, one time I was out in Southern California in the summer, rocks flying everywhere, and I was racing. Russ Darnell was behind me. He was the first American to go to Europe to compete with the great champions, world champions. And he was breathing down my back, and it was probably 100 degrees, and it was a high-speed track, so he was right on me. And both races, both heats, two heats, and I, my hands came off the handlebars going down the downhill in fifth gear, wide open.
Oh, did you go flying?
Well, I went bucking left and right, and someone was looking out, you know.
Yeah.
I grabbed the handlebar at the bottom, got one hand on it to keep from crashing, luckily.
My God.
Bucking left and right like you're riding a bull, you know.
How old were you when you started that?
I started at 12 years old. We had property in the Mojave Desert, Dad mining on weekends, so we'd be up there. And my cousin Tony owned Hollywood Kawasaki, so he was a stunt rider. So I would watch them and dream about, you know, having a bike. So I got a little Honda 50 and then a Super 90. And then
how cool is that?
And it just kept progressing.
Now, do you have any of the old bikes as mementos?
No. I thrashed them, sold them, got rid of them, upgraded. My last bike was a Mako, 1976. So I retired then after 14 years, from 12 to 26.
I had a friend who died in a motorcycle accident, Dennis. He was going way too fast. And a little old lady came pulling out right in front of him, and he hit her, and he went flying, and he landed on top of a stop sign, and it severed his body.
I heard you mention that earlier.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, you said you saw him in the casket and you were thinking about him. Is that the same man?
That's the same one.
I know. See, I knew intuitively to stay off the street.
That's smart.
I was afraid because I saw what could happen.
Well, here in California, they let bike riders zoom right up between cars. So you could be, there's a car on the left and you're on the right and there's no middle ground. And a motorcycle is flying right up between you two. Unbelievable.
I know. You know, at the trauma centers, the nurses and doctors will tell you the worst cases of somebody being harmed are from the motorcycle.
I think so, too. Okay, Dennis, thanks for the call. Continue being safe out there. And we're going to come back in a moment with more open lines for you on Coast to Coast AM. Also, don't forget, folks. Beyond Belief is our television program. You can watch it by going to the website, beyondbelief.com. There's a special promotion to allow you to watch as many shows as you want. Then you decide if you want to be a regular member of the Beyond Belief team. It's a fun program. It's a little like Coast to Coast with people that you can see, which is different. With our program here, you let your mind do what it has to do. With Beyond Belief, it's right out in front of you. BeyondBelief.com.